The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Craig Burley is back from his time off. He's got a lot to get off his chest. You've got a lot to look forward to on tonight's show. My name is Kay Murray. I'm your host for the show, and we've got some big news coming out of Paris. Could Marcus Rashford be leaving Manchester United and going to PSG? This is the front page of L'Équipe, say Paris negotiating with Rashford. Let's now welcome in Shaki Hislop and Julien Laurent to talk more about this. So, Jules, I know you've written a piece on our website about this whole situation as well. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, that's the breaking news of the evening here in London and in Paris. Last week, Dwayne, who is one of Marcus Rashford's brothers and an agent as well, travelled to Paris to meet with Luis Campos, the PSG sporting director, to discuss the possibility of Marcus Rashford becoming a PSG player. They want a PSG to strengthen the attacking line, a player that can play on the wide or as a number nine. And they've identified Marcus Rashford as being that player. There's still a long way between the meeting last week and him actually being a PSG player. For example, the two clubs have not started talking, and we don't know if United right now are open to sell Marcus Rashford or not. It seemed that Marcus Rashford was quite interested, and your brother doesn't travel to Paris if you're not interested in what PSG have to offer. It doesn't mean, again, that he wants to leave United and that he's going to push for a move. However, he's got 1 year left on his contract right now. He's 24. There's another year in option that United can trigger alone, only themselves. So even if Rashford is not in agreement, United can still trigger. So technically, he's got 2 years left on his contract. But this one that we'll have to monitor, because I think it could be quite interesting to see how this one develops.
If I was him, I'd get on a Eurostar and go to Paris straight away. I mean, you're talking about winning a watch, right? Paris Saint-Germain, the way he's played. And I think he's a good player, but he's lost his way big time. Whether it's the off-field stuff that he does and all the charity work, I don't know. I'm not suggesting he has a bad attitude, not at all, but he has lost his way on the field. Now, if you were saying to me, United are offloading him to Everton or West Ham, I'd be like, yeah, I can see that. But Paris Saint-Germain, the way that he has played for his club recently, he has won a watch if that was the case, and I would jump at the chance to get out of that club and try and revitalise and rejuvenate his career that is dwindling away in the wrong direction and has been for a while. And that's what makes me surprised. And I understand what Jules is saying. He can play across that front line, but he just hasn't played those positions well for quite a long time. And that is what surprises me.
What do you think about it all, Shaka?
I think it makes an awful lot of sense, and I'm with Craig. I think Marcus Rashford remains a tremendously talented footballer. I don't feel any of his off the field involvements have anything to do with his loss of form. I certainly find that helps players focus an awful lot. But if you look at that United dressing room as a whole, players who are involved in charitable work or not have all suffered a similar fate. So I think the issue is with Manchester United. And if you're Marcus Rashford, if you're a talented footballer, if you're young and for whatever reason, whatever it is within that club is stunting your progress as it is, you look for a way out. And if that way out comes in the form of a club like PSG, with their ambitions, with the players that they have in their dressing room and the amount that you can learn from them in getting yourself back on track and really realizing the fullest of your potential, you jump on the Eurostars, as Craig put it.
Jules, have you seen any reaction to this? Obviously, it's quite new and breaking. Have you seen any reaction from France as to Rashford coming in at PSG and what they think about how this would fit and him coming?
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see the reaction from PSG fans. Obviously, I've had a lot of messages on social media after we published the article and we posted about it. There's a lot of PSG fans who, like Craig said, haven't really been fencing the Marcus Rashford of the last 18 months. Let's not forget, he scored 4 goals, I think, in the Premier League last season, for example, and I think 1 in the Champions League. He's been out of confidence, clearly. We saw that again against Brighton at the weekend, for example, where he missed a chance. He was lucky that he was flagged for offside on the Ronaldo offside, but he was... You know, he was in a regular position that he should have scored regardless or if someone was offside in the build-up of the chance anyway. So I think a lot of PSG fans, although they understand the versatility, the age, because again, it's a young player and you're already preparing the kind of post-Messi, post-even Neymar era at PSG. So you have you need younger players like Mbappe, like Ekitike, like Vitinha, and again, like Rashford. But I think there's quite a lot of question mark around his level, his degree of confidence. He lost his place in the England squad, for example, as well. So there's a big risk, that a big chance that he might not make it to the World Cup, for example. So I think there was a bit of surprise by the name. And also, English players don't really go abroad. That's not really what they do. So, yeah, it was. I think they was quite surprised within the PSG fan community and even in France when the story broke out. But it'd be interesting, again, to see if it actually happens, to see the reaction once he's over there.
All right then, Jules, tell us the latest on the Rabiot situation and why he's of interest.
Well, he's of interest because finally, John Murto, the Manchester United sporting director, let's call it that way to make it simple, and Véronique Rabiot are going to meet finally, because as we've explained before, Véronique Rabiot, who's Adrien Rabiot's mum and agent, only wanted to deal directly with John Murto. No one else from the club, no intermediaries, no other agent, nothing. And now that he travelled to Turin to sort out first the transfer fee and the deal with Juventus, now they can finally meet and have an espresso, a beer, a spritz or whatever, an orange juice, whatever they want, and finally actually talk about Adrien himself and his contract. And I think that's why, certainly I was told this afternoon, things should progress quicker now than what we saw really this week since Monday. So I'm really expecting a breakthrough tomorrow when they actually meet in Turin. And then after that, I think because Rabiot is keen to go to United, I think United, now that they've got a deal in place with Juventus, will make the extra effort to make sure that Rabiot is happy with the conditions they offer.
Julian, I'm presuming this has been driven by Ten Hag, yes?
Yeah, he spoke to Rabiot on Monday evening. He made the call. He wanted to have a chat with him. I was told it was a positive chat. He wants a left-footed player with the kind of profile that Rabiot is and has. I know the last 3 years at Juventus have been really up and down for him, more down than up. I get that, but Ten Hag seems to think that he will improve the team.
If the coach wants him.
Sometimes he seems maybe a divisive character. He certainly hasn't reached the heights at Juventus that he would have wanted. But he is a French international, and you know, I've heard a lot of stuff from the UK about him. Oh, he's not going to fit. Is he better than what they have? And for the most part, the answer is yes, right? And the coach, if the coach wants him, and the coach has assessed his squad, albeit in a short period, and he's looked at it, and he understands, and you don't have to look back to last weekend's defeat to Brighton to know that there's deficiencies there, and he's still a relatively young man, so it does make sense. And they need good quality players coming in. So I don't really have a problem with this, and yeah, it's a big move for him because we don't know what United are going to look like in 3 months, 6 months or 12 months, but he is a talented player, and that's what Erik ten Hag is looking for.
Now, you've been away for a couple of weeks, not three and a half weeks, like Xhaka would have us believe. Your reaction to United's opener against Brighton?
Oh, unsurprising. I read all the nonsense about the pre-season and stuff and how everything was going swimmingly well. But as a player, I've seen that 100 times. When it really matters, the pressure's on, that's when you find out about your players. So it was unsurprising. They're going to need a reaction at Brentford this week. Otherwise, the headlines will be even worse. But I think he's finding out quick, and he will find out quick about some of the shirkers within the squad, some of the people that have thrown others under the bus. And he's going to have to figure that out, and he's going to have to figure it out quickly. He's had a big problem over the summer. It was Ronaldo, Ronaldo, Ronaldo. Now he's got this smallest thing with Marcus Rashford. There's problems with, obviously, Frankie de Jong. He must be banging his head with the de Jong thing time and time again. But they shouldn't have put all their eggs in this basket. In my opinion, Manchester United should have went out and they should have hunted down a Declan Rice or a Calvin Phillips. And 18 months ago, they should have hunted down a Harry Kane. And I know it was big money, but there should have been 150 million plus on the table for him at the time to get him out of Tottenham. But they sat back, they didn't do it. They sat back this summer. Rice is still at West Ham to this point. Phillips is at Manchester City. De Jong is still at Barcelona. It is very frustrating if you're a Man United fan watching them go about their business. Different people, same outcome at the moment. So would I be surprised if they had another poor result at Brentford this weekend? No, I would not.
Why didn't they do that, Jules? Why didn't they get things in order, like Craig was saying?
Because it's an absolute mess. That's what it is. And especially the transfer recruitment or absence of, or the transfer strategy or absence of. Because that's what they do. They've got no organization, no strategy, no tactics, no plan, nothing. If they have a plan B, if they have a plan A, this is a player like De Jong, they have no plan B and even less of a plan C. They don't function like other clubs of that caliber. And this is what frustrates me so much. And I'm not even a Manchester United fan, but I understand the frustration from United fans. And that's why summer after summer, and we say all the time, they miss out on the targets that they have, or they don't even have the right targets, or they don't have targets at all, as we saw with Arnautovic, for example. And this is the problem, is that they don't do things the right way. They don't identify the positions they need. They don't make a short list of the players that they need in that position, with that profile, with the qualities that they need for what the manager wants to put in place and the style of play and the patterns of play. All of that is absent. There's none of that in their thinking and in their process. And that's why a Declan Rice, a Calvin Phillips, a Harry Kane, and I can name you 25, 30, 50 names that they either tried to sign, could not sign, wanted to sign, were not sure, did decide not to sign. All of that. This is what's been happening for the last 8 years, maybe even before that, even when Sir Alex was still in charge. It's been a crazy time, and really a club like them should have never been functioning like that.
I wonder where you've got them in your picks, because you have the benefit over some of these guys, because you gave your picks after one game had been played in the Premier League.
Well, it hardly makes a difference, does it?
It might do with Erling Haaland in these spots.
Man City, ominous on Sunday. Totally controlling with an absolute monster up front. Liverpool, I'll gain momentum, and I obviously wasn't a great start. Yeah, Tottenham, I think, have had a really, really, really good summer. Great manager. Strengthened every position in the team. I thought it was a really good result at Selhurst Park. I thought Gabriel Jesus' movement, particularly in the first half, was as I would expect. It was really good, and he was using his body, and I thought Saliba at the back, three seasons he had out on loan, young player of the year in France, comes back in. That's more options for Arsenal. Ben White, Gabriel, Saliba, Zinchenko play midfield, and so I've put them forth. Chelsea obviously could go out. There's been talk about Chelsea going for all and sundry before the transfer window happens, and that could change things. Aubameyang, De Jong, Fofana from Leicester, who they've been touting about paying huge money for, that's a little bit of a scratcher. He's a good player, but he's a young player who's had a bad injury. And then I've squeezed Man United in at six. I think I was actually a little bit torn between Chelsea and Arsenal in fourth and fifth than I was with Tottenham. I just feel with Conte still there and the signings that they've made, they could put a real good string of results together. I don't think they've got enough to push the top two, but I think they've got enough to finish in third.
All right. Well, there'll be a lot more Premier League talk as the show goes on over the next few days. Don't forget, we are available 7 days a week here on ESPN FC. And with another round of action, there'll be plenty to discuss when it comes to the Premier League. Be sure you're there with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd Spy, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Here's a reminder of how Barcelona fared last season. Second in La Liga, 13 points behind champions Real Madrid. Out of the group stages in the Champions League, which meant they went into the Europa League. They were knocked out in the quarters there by Eintracht Frankfurt. In the Supercopa de España, they got to the semi-finals where Real Madrid knocked them out. And in the Copa del Rey, they were knocked out in the round of 16 by Athletic Club. So lots to talk about in going into the new season. And we welcome in Ali Moreno and Luis Garcia from Barcelona to do so.
Do you know what I would do if I looked at that graphic and I was Barcelona? I'd just go out and spend money.
To spend money willy-nilly?
If I looked at that and thought, oh, that's disappointing. Oh, we've not been very good. Oh, we've been taking, oh, this is not Barcelona-esque. I would just go out and throw money around like confetti.
The good news is that's exactly what they've been doing. While you've been away, they've been bringing more and more players in, and they may be about to pull another reliever.
They've got a new administration there, so they can't be making the same mistakes.
Well, let's talk to Luis Garcia about this, shall we? Because what we're 2 days away from Barcelona kicking off their campaign against Rayo Vallecano, and still players are not registered, Luis.
Yes, guys, and yes, Craig, they've been spending money like they have a lot to spend, but it should that arrive the moment where you have to think about if they're going to be able to register. A lot of news says that the five new signing players, they haven't been registered, and we are just 2 days away from the first game of Rayo Vallecano. So there's a lot of concerns around in the city, a lot of concerns from the supporters, but the people still believe that Laporta and the group, they are going to manage to finally register every single player, because everyone wants to see the new players at the Camp Nou in the first game. Of course, who doesn't want to see Lewandowski scoring the first goal at the Camp Nou? We are all expecting for that.
Yeah, it's just a reminder here. So it's the new signings and the players who have renewed their contracts or extended their contracts with the club. It's a weird situation to be in, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it's the top five, isn't it? And I mean, I was watching a bit of yesterday, and I think, you know, obviously there is a clause in Kessié and Christensen's contract, I believe, that could result in them going in a free transfer for the second time. I don't think that will happen. 2 days to try and strong arm to try and come up with more money via the mechanisms that they've already used by selling rights or strong arming. I mean, they're not going to be able to strong arm Frankie de Jong, I wouldn't imagine, in 2 days. That's part of it. So I don't know how they're going to get it done, but the way they're going about it with the whatever they do with the rights and how they commercially raise money, I haven't got a problem with, right? I'm not really into the finances. But I have got a problem from a player's perspective of people with bona fide contracts, whether it's your administration or not, bona fide contracts, and you're trying to strong arm them. You're trying to bully them. You're trying to destroy their reputation, their confidence, everything about their livelihood, to try and get them either out the door to take a wage cut and just make a mockery of their professionalism to be able to bring all these other players in. I've got a huge problem with that. And I'm talking about Frankie de Jong, who did take a wage deferral. Not a cut, a deferral. He is due this money. He has a contract. I mean, if players want to take a pay cut at Barcelona, that's their own business. If it was me in my career and I was asked to take a pay cut, if it was to save some staff members behind the scene, yes. But I'm not taking a pay cut at Barcelona so you can go out and continue to splurge on these big stars. It's not happening. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is in particular with one player, Frankie de Jong, and I don't know how he's going to handle this, they're trying to besmirch his reputation, and I go as far to say almost destroy him at Barcelona to get this done. That is morally incorrect, never mind financially. It is morally unacceptable from a player's perspective. And I hope Frankie de Jong, and I don't know what his decision is going to be, but I hope Frankie de Jong does not buckle under the pressure of Laporta and his cronies. And we'll see what happens, but I hope he does not buckle. And I know his representatives have been out there, and I hope they're standing firm for this player, because he has a bona fide contract.
What do you think of what Craig's saying there, Louise? Because it's got to be a very uncomfortable situation for Frankie de Jong.
Yeah, definitely. The only thing that we don't know is...
Go on, Louise.
It's an uncomfortable situation for Frankie de Jong.
Go ahead, Louise.
Yeah, the only thing that I try to guess is that all this that we are talking about, all this that the press is talking about, I think that they have already meetings there, that they have talked, because I saw a very good Frankie de Jong in the last game. I saw a player who is hungry to play, a player who wants to show that he wants to stay in Barcelona. And when you are in a situation where you are very uncomfortable, you don't like it, you probably, the first thing that you do is, listen, I'm not going to be involved in the game. Let's try to sort out what is happening out of the situation, talking about the contract, and then we'll talk after. But he was a player who gave 100% during the game, who scored a goal, who looked like he wants to be involved in this squad. I'm not talking just the team, in this squad. And I think that's what they are trying to do. It's true that Laporta is trying to talk with the press. It's true that in Xavi's surrounding, no one is talking. They are all very focused on what they have to do on training and focusing on the first game. It doesn't matter if they are going to have the chance of signing or resign every single player and register them into the league. But the most important is the first game. Focus on that. And I think that they are doing very well. And apart from that, of course, it's not comfortable that everybody's talking about if they are going to be able to register the players or not. But I think they're doing well. The board is trying to work on that. Everybody around, we are just talking. We are trying to guess what is the feeling. We are trying to guess what is going to happen. But I think that for the players' perspective, every one of them, they know. They've been talked. They had a meeting, and they are trying to put everything that happened around apart. And they are trying to focus in on the first game against Rayo Vallecano. That's the most important.
Ale?
Well, that's ideally what's going on, is that, yeah, you're able to separate the performance on the field from whatever is going on behind the scenes. But the truth is, if the team and the club are putting out negativity surrounding Frankie de Jong to the point to where now fans feel this negativity and they turn that onto Frankie de Jong, as we have seen videos of him arriving to training and fans yelling things to him as to take a pay cut, so on and so forth, that negativity on Frankie de Jong is not only, and Craig just mentioned, is immoral, but it's completely unfair on the player. the player has signed a contract and he is doing his job. He's showing up to training. He's showing up to games. It's not like he's refusing to show up. He's honoring his contract and his responsibility. And now, because of this negativity surrounding Frankie de Jong, and almost as if the club is pointing the finger at saying, hey, we need this guy to go so that we can make sense of everything else that we've done on the other side, it's impossible for the player not to feel this negativity, and it's impossible for the player to not allow this to affect his mindset and his preparation for games. So while we like to think that things can be kept separate from each other, I don't think that that's the case at all. I think this affects the player. It affects your everyday, and every day that you're driving into training, now you're having to put up with people yelling at you to take a pay cut. Imagine if Frankie de Jong showed up at somebody else's job to yell at them and say, hey, you take a pay cut. None of these people would, and none of us would take a pay cut. In these circumstances in which they are asking him to say, hey, take less money so that we can spend it somewhere else on other players, no. And I couldn't agree more with Craig. Initially, if I were Frankie de Jong and I saw what the landscape was, I would have said, you know, it's probably better for me to go elsewhere. But now that you are trying to dig in directly into my wallet, now that you've made it personal, if I'm him, I sit right down and I dig in and I don't go anywhere, absolutely anywhere. I force you to honor your contract and I force you as a club to make sure that you sort out your finances before you come out after me and ask me to take a pay cut. No chance. If I'm Frankie de Jong, I'm digging in.
I have no doubt Frankie de Jong would leave, but I mean, in an ideal world, I think he'd want to stay. I've no doubt he would leave, but it's like, you know, pay me what I'm due and we can come to some sort of agreement, because, you know, he's taken this pay cut whenever he did a year or two ago, a deferral, and now it's like, well, you have to make up the remainder of that deferral in my contract and then we can discuss it with other clubs. As Ali said, it's a bit like a big business telling their workers that they're going to be cut 50% of their wages for 2 years and then they're going to get it all back, and they don't. What are they going to do? I'll just walk all back into work, happy. No, they'll be breaking the place down. They'll be hammering the doors down. They'll be smashing the place up because they want their money. It's no different from a player's perspective. Whether you think he's a multimillionaire or not, doesn't matter. It's the principle of a contract. And as I say, it's morally incorrect. Now, Frankie de Jong has got I've been in kind of, not as messy as this, but I've been in situations when I've been leaving the club that it's got a little messy and a little tardy and, you know, a little bit, tight with negotiations and uncomfortable. And Frankie de Jong's got a problem because there's a World Cup in, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. He's a big player for Holland. If there wasn't a World Cup, he's still young enough, he could sit this out and it wouldn't destroy him. But it depends how much Qatar is in his mind and how much he will play if indeed he doesn't move on and Xavi tries to play him and the hierarchy say, no, you can't, you know, just trying to mess with the guy's head. I don't know. It's going to be a big call for him. This is a big game of bluff now. And if he wants to sit tight, okay, he can. And he's holding the cards here. From a financial perspective, he's holding the cards because at some point Barcelona will have to honour this contract. But from a football perspective, it could be problematic for him. So he and only he and his representatives can make that decision.
Let's go back to the players, the new players that have come in. And the Barcelona look this season, Luis, if they are able to register those players come the opening game in 2 days away, what's their best 11 looking like right now?
Let me say something, just one small piece, guys, because we are talking about, again, we are trying to figure it out what is going to happen, what is the landscape that Frankie de Jong is having. But, guys, think about Kessié, Christensen, Lewandowski. They just arrived to our club without the uncertainty that maybe they are not going to be registered, with the uncertainty that they are not going to be paid. I don't think that that's that easy. I think that the guys know that they're going to be registered, that they're going to be paid, and everything that is happening surrounding Frankie de Jong, that they are asking him to have a pay cut, that they're asking him to leave, I don't think it's that way. I think that just we need to find a way to understand what is happening, and we just try to to put things on the table, but I don't think that is happening at all. I think that they arrived to this team and they know what is the situation, and they understand that if they are there, they're going to be ready to play, and the club is going to make it happen. After saying that, I think that the Barcelona at the moment is having one of the best squads in Europe, with the signing of Kessié in the middle, to have to give him a little bit more of pace, of work, of fight into the middle. And with the players at the back, we can have Araújo on the right side, even though that we had Sergio Des, Sergio Roberto can help, Piqué, Koundé. I think two centre backs with a lot of experience, and Koundé to give that extra. It's very good one with the feet, is very quick and fast, something that for Barcelona is very important. Alba, of course, in the left side is not going to be moved, even though that is being talked that Alonso could arrive. In the center of the park, I mentioned already Kessié, but of course Gavi, Pedri are going to be the main men. If Frankie de Jong is going to be involved, I don't know if he's going to leave or not, but at least I think they are two players with a lot of talent and youth. They know and understand what is the philosophy of this Barcelona. And up front, I mean, you can agree with me or not with Rafinha, Lewandowski and Dembélé up front, but you have so many different options that you can use with Ansu Fati, with Aubameyang, with Memphis Depay. You got so many options. Ferran Torres is the only injured player, but still a player who cost so much money last year, and is something that is a bet for the future, a player who should be very important in the coming years. So I think it's one of the best squads at the moment in Europe. If at the end, like you even mentioned, they are all register, they look very strong, I have to say, and they're going to go for every single trophy, because they got the talent, the ability, but also the depth that is needed to play in every single competition, not only La Liga, but also in Champions League.
I mean, it looks very strong, Ale, when we're just seeing, if they are all registered, what that strongest 11 could be. Barcelona can be optimistic, can't they, with the pre-season they've had as well?
Yeah, and that's the very odd part about this conversation regarding Barcelona, that somehow you have to turn your brain off and not think about what this financial gamble that they're taking, and somehow ignore it. And if you're able to do that and you just focus on the players that potentially could be on the field and what the starting 11 could look like and what the whole squad could look like, then you have to say that across the board, and Luis just went through the players, look, this is a team that can compete and feel very comfortable competing against some of the best teams in Europe. I'm talking, they are at the same level in terms of talent, in terms of talent. We don't know what the performances are going to look like, but in terms of talent, in terms of the individuals that are available right now to Xavi, they are, in my opinion, at the same level or similar level to Liverpool, Manchester City, Real Madrid. They're in that conversation. When we're talking about talent alone, Xavi has options everywhere. He has options in the attack. He has options in the middle. And then he has options that he didn't have before. He also has options in the back, which was a big question for Barcelona and may still be. But they've addressed some of those concerns. In terms of the talent available in the squad, they are among the elite in Europe. Now, we'll see if that shows up on the field. But on paper, this team should be excellent. Excellent. Entertaining, open, goal scoring, creative, dynamic. This should be a fun season for Barcelona. Now, what happens in the future, we don't know, because they certainly have gone all in for this year. What happens 5 years down the road, apparently nobody cares about.
I think the other big question is, just briefly before we go, oh, right, there we go.
Is that what you're going to say? Are you going to say, are you going to talk title race? Because it's tight.
Yeah, the one thing I was going to say was, yeah, they've clearly amassing a... Look, I have a big problem with this club at the moment, because no other club... This club washes its dirty linen in public more than others. And that, one of the issues I've got, and I'll get back to the football in a minute, is if you're signing for this club, let it be known, and when you wake up in the morning, it could be you. It could be you that they are dragging through the mud, and your reputation, asking you to take a wage cut, and you might only have been in 6 months, asking you to take a wage cut for their bad decisions and the previous administration's bad decisions. So be aware, when you go to this club, they have no morals, they have no scruples. I believe, like Lewis was saying, somehow they'll get most of these registrations over the line, because that's what they do, right? By hook or crook, they get it done. But going back to the football, the big question mark eventually will be their manager. Ali mentioned City and Liverpool, the two best on the planet at the moment in terms of coaches, in my opinion. Yeah, I get it, Ancelotti, fantastic. great experience. But actually coaching Klopp and Guardiola. And then you go across Spain to Ancelotti. That nous, that experience, that man management. Yeah, Xavi's had some exciting times since he came in, and it was all a bit of a fanfare, and Koeman goes out, and yeah, we didn't want him. I get all that. That's fine. Played some nice stuff. If the registrations go through, and we all think they probably will, the pressure's on. Because he's not at that level of Ancelotti, Klopp, Guardiola. He's nowhere near it. And so, yeah, these signings are great for him if he's successful. But they're going to ask a lot of questions about his ability to go the distance with all those guys and teams that I mentioned. And we're going to find out pretty soon, because he won't have a period this year where he can say, well, we didn't get this player in the summer. Well, we didn't get that player in the summer. I mean, they're not registered, but they've got them. So there'll be no hiding place for him this season. Pressure is on, big time, on Xavi.
Pressure's on you lot as well at the beginning of a season, because we always ask for your picks.
But you don't think we take time off, do you?
I do think you take time on it. Luis Garcia, your picks for La Liga this season are as follows. You've got Barcelona winning it.
Atleti, are you surprised? Are you surprised?
And Real Madrid in third.
Well, you know, I think that at the moment, and again, we are not going to talk again about what Barcelona have done and if they registered or not all the players. I think that on paper, I think that, yeah, I agree totally with Craig that Xavi's got a lot of pressure, he's got a lot of things to prove, and of course, he hasn't had the experience that all the managers have been working for many years. But I think that he's got a Ferrari at the moment, he needs to drive it, and if he drives well, he should be on the top of La Liga next season. Atletico Madrid is one of those teams that is going to surprise once again. I think the last year it was a bit confusing. I think the Joao Felix is going to turn up once again, Griezmann as well, and they are going to do a great job. I think they're going to be back again to the Atletico Madrid we all know, being very compact, very well organized at the back and getting results. And I think that even though that Rudiger is a fantastic player at the back to help Real Madrid, that Tchouameni, Camavinga, they're going to be fantastic replacement into the middle to give fresh legs to this Real Madrid midfield, I think there is not going to be enough once again to get all the trophies. I think there is going to be a long season with a World Cup in between. You have to count with that, and I think that they're not going to have the depth in their squad to compete in every single competition, including the World Cup, with a lot of players getting involved. So that's why I put it. And in the other side, I put for the Villarreal, because they kept the same base of the team. I think Unai Emery did a fantastic job last season. I think he didn't have enough because of the playing in European competition. But this year, once again, keeping the base of the team and aggregating a couple more players up front and one in the middle, I think is going to be fantastic with Pepe Reina in goalie. So I'm going to go for those four. We'll see what happens. But definitely, Barcelona is going to be on top of the La Liga, I can see that.
But just listening to Luis justify picking his former teams in first and second. In a nutshell, Ali, who are your picks?
Well, the first thing that I like to say is that Luis mentioned that Xavi will be driving a Ferrari. If Luis follows Formula One, he doesn't want Xavi driving a Ferrari. He wants Xavi driving a Red Bull. Because otherwise, then Barcelona will finish second. That's all I'm about to say regarding Formula One. In terms of what I think is going to happen, I am concerned about Real Madrid and Karim Benzema and a World Cup and the potential of Karim Benzema somehow being injured or unavailable to Real Madrid. He was so critically important to their success last year, and we saw time and time again that whenever he was out, there was no answer. And Eden Hazard is not the answer, won't be the answer. So I don't see Karim Benzema having quite the same season that he had last year. And in that drop-off, I think Real Madrid comes back to the crowd. And Barcelona, with the new additions and the new players, takes a jump up. Barcelona finishes first. Real Madrid finishes second. And then Atletico Madrid, they'll finish third, but nowhere near the top two, but really not threatening from anybody behind them, because I just don't think that the trailing pack is going to be good enough to trouble Atletico Madrid. They'll finish third. I do agree with Luis that Villarreal will finish fourth.
Have you got Barcelona winning it all too, Craig?
No, I've got Real Madrid again.
So why have you got Real Madrid and not Barcelona?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, it's a bit of solidity there. I can see as the years get on, it could be tough for Benzema. I'm not sure about the World Cup. I think the French will all fall out with each other and he'll probably end up not going, something like that. But I've got Real Madrid, Barca. I think Atletico Madrid have to be more consistent than last year. I mean, they were really inconsistent. And I'm the same. I've got Villarreal in fourth. Interestingly, I went for Vinicius Junior as a player of the year. I'm intrigued to see if he can have two really good seasons in a row and then keep that momentum going, because he was outstanding last year. And if he does that again, and if he improves even on that, then that's obviously going to help Karim Benzema. But it was a toss of a coin for me, Lewandowski and Benzema, but I've stuck with Mr. Frenchman.
Yeah, you've balanced it out a bit with these two going for all Barca picks, it seems. There is a comprehensive season preview over on our website. All our top La Liga writers and reporters taking you through everything you need to know about all 20 teams. And I wonder if yesterday you saw the unveiling of La Liga's new ball with Xhaka and Dan. What could possibly go wrong?
And as is tradition, a new season means a new ball. La Liga have sent us this. Now, they say, Shaq, it's in some sort of special packaging.
Oh.
Can you try and work out what it is? Keeper.
It's some eggs. It's eggshells, Dan. It's a new ball.
There you go. What did you used to do?
That's a setup, isn't it? Was it? Was that a stunt? Was that a setup?
Who am I to tell the secrets of what happens in front of the camera?
Wow.
What, you think the Checker would have definitely never done that if it wasn't a setup?
I think he's a good actor. I think he's a very good actor. Otherwise, he thought it was a grenade.
I mean, Ale's got a word for that. Ale?
Oh, well, no doubt about it. Checkastrophic!
Yep, La Liga's new ball unveiled with some wonderful acting, or maybe not, from
Xhaka. Well, I'm intrigued how they were going to open that, drop it.
I've seen some of our colleagues on Deportes volley it, and it smashes all nicely.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so.
Well, what's the difference? We got a big, stupid goalkeeper in. He hasn't got his gloves on. And he was frightened of it. What do you expect? Whenever there's a goalkeeper involved, things are always going to go wrong.
Things are always going to go wrong.
Told you that.
Anyway, the good news is all of La Liga's games will be available for you this season. We say goodbye to Ale and Luis now and thank them so much for being with us. La Liga opening weekend. It all kicks off tomorrow, but the big one on Saturday, Barcelona against Rayo Vallecano. You can catch that game on ABC, and Real Madrid kick off their campaign against Almeria. There'll be a lot more coverage from Barcelona tomorrow on ESPN as we follow everything that happens in week one. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Well, this week it's the Don and Jill show, not the Gab and Jill show. John Hutchison joining Julian Laurent to talk about the return of the Serie A. Gab Marcotti once again on vacation. The good news is, though, he's with us here on ESPN FC tonight to tell us all about his picks for the new season. Gab, where are you?
I'm on the lovely island of Ischia, and just in the Gulf of Naples. And I believe you've been, Kay.
I did go there a few years ago for my honeymoon. It's a lovely place to be. Right, Gab, we are going to talk about just how exciting it's been over the last few seasons in the Serie A, because there have been three different Scudetto winners over the last 3 years. Milan, of course, the defending champions right now. Before that, Inter. And before that, Juventus. And it had been Juventus for a very long time before that as well. And we wanted to bring up the odds because, remarkably, your picks are almost in step with the odds, except you have Milan ahead of Juventus. So these are the odds to win the Serie A this season. Don't forget Lukaku back with Inter, where he did so well in that year that they did win the title. But Gab, we're going to get your picks from you. You've got Inter winning it yourself, runner-up Milan, third Juve and fourth Roma. So talk us through your picks and why you think Inter are going to be champions again.
Well, first and foremost, I have to throw out this massive caveat that this season, it's always like this in Serie A, but especially this season, there's so much that can change between now and the transfer window closing September 1st. Juve, I think, likely to make some big moves, possibly Inter as well, Roma too. That said, I think Romelu Lukaku does move the needle for Inter. They were so close to Milan last season. Simone Inzaghi, I think, has a better handle on this team this year than he does last year, just his first season last year. So I've gone with them. I think it's going to be very, very close. I think Milan are going to run them close. Charles de Ketelaere, I can't wait to see this guy play. I don't know. Obviously, we saw him play last year. I don't know how it's going to work in Serie A, but certainly they're all super excited about him. Juve, to me, still very much a work in progress. We don't know what's happening with signings. I think they are going to have to bring in another striker. Probably won't be Morata at this stage. It may be Memphis Depay. It may be somebody else. They do need to figure this out. I might have gone with them higher, but Pogba's condition, I think, threw me. A real dilemma for fourth place. I really like the way Napoli have with Kvara, who I think is a really exciting player out on that wing. But I had to lean Roma. The Mourinho effect, they're all buzzing after signing Paulo Dybala and Gini Wijnaldum, and I guess Nemanja Matic too. And I think there could well be more to come as well between now and September 1st.
Yeah, let's stick with Juve then, because obviously it's an interesting team to focus on at the moment, especially with what you were just explaining. This is how they could line up this weekend against Sassuolo on Monday. Maybe not quite the lineup we expected going into the new season, Gab?
No, I mean, they've been hit by so many injuries. Obviously, Chesney in goal. Obviously, Paul Pogba being the most notable one. You know, it looks like he opted against surgery at this stage. You know, so he could play in the World Cup, but it is a big gamble. You don't quite know what you're going to get. And obviously, no Federico Chiesa either. I do think they've strengthened on paper, but I think they need to strengthen further, and they need to stay injury-free. In that lineup, you saw their Fagioli in midfield. It's been suggested he might start on opening day. I think, compared to the past, I mean, he's just a kid, but they have to look more and more. He spent last year on loan in Serie B. I think they'd be well behooved to look more and more to some of their younger players to help out some of their homegrown players.
Gab, thanks so much for giving us your picks and explaining them. But stick around, because you are going to be back with us for extra time answering the tweets that have been sent in.
And yeah, don't let him enjoy his holiday.
No, absolutely not. Make him work. If you subscribe to our YouTube page, you can always keep up to date with extra time.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's all we've got time for here on the show, but stick around.
Wow.
Extra time's coming up. And let me just tell you, Craig Burley is in fine form.
I mentioned
tonight.
Barcelona.
No, he's about to kick off on extra time. Stick around. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Shaka Hislop, Gab Marcotti from Ischia, and also Craig Burley's back. And that's been a bit of excitement, I will say, in the comments for today's show that you're back. Yes.
Come on, I think I'll take another 3 weeks off.
As you can see, he's delighted to be here.
It's the longest holiday ever.
Well, it wasn't. 2.5 weeks, son. Do it. Do it. And by the way, there's more to come. By the way, I'm going to use up my full allotted time this year. That's what I'm going to do, right down to the wire.
I'm never on holiday.
I tell you what I wouldn't be doing if I was on holiday. I tell you what I wouldn't be doing if I was on holiday in a lovely island off the coast of Italy. I wouldn't be doing this, but I know a man
well,
it is.
Gab is a professional, and he loves us. That's why he's
duty
here.
Duty calls, Craig. Duty calls. I got to fly a flag for City out here.
Yes. There you are. All right, first question.
Red duty calls, hang up, Gab. Don't answer the phone when it calls.
Duty's called many times and it's been a bad line. Or a battery that's flat on.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
I don't even pick it up. That's the first mistake. Pick it up. Schoolboy error even picking the phone up. Just open it like that. Just open it and go, oh, Jesus, God.
Fortunately, he's here today, though. All right, first question.
Forcing you about it. I'm here, my first day in, I'm sick at Barcelona already.
He did have a rant in the show today. What a surprise.
I can't stand that club at the moment. Honestly.
He really is not having
Scottish
Barcelona right now.
Football.
All right. For Craig.
Put you off.
No, because it's going to be about another club that we like you talking about. Manchester United.
Oh, yeah.
Are United in danger of missing out on a top seven place this season? And could that actually be beneficial long-term for the club in a way similar to Arsenal a few years ago, if I'm not mistaken?
I don't think so. I think that would be a gross overreaction to last weekend, which wasn't good. Their business has been frustrating, and that's been me. That's been very nice about it. But they have a very good coach. They still have what should be the nucleus of a team that should finish in the top six. So I wouldn't be throwing the baby out with the bathwater just yet. But I would be concerned if I was a fan about the behind-the-scenes approach to rebuilding this squad. But I don't think they'll miss out on top six.
In the top, okay. Craig and
Can I ask? Just while we're on that, and I can't see who wrote that question in. How did missing out on, well, I guess top seven was your question. How did missing out on top seven benefit Arsenal? How? I don't understand.
I wasn't focused on that part of the question. It was just Man United.
No European football can focus more on.
I'm not asking you to ask that question. Yeah, I'm asking whoever wrote that in.
Maiden's interior decorator.
Know how Arnie Fall. Oh, well, okay. If it's Nadim's interior decorator, well, I would say stick to the day job, but I've seen Nadim's interior.
Craig and Shaka, in your playing days, how would you feel if your club agreed to do a documentary? Would you have been yourself or played to the camera? How would the dressing room react? Hang on, I want to wait for your answer. Shaka, would you have agreed?
I would have avoided the camera as... I don't think I'd have much of a choice if the club agreed, but I'd avoid the camera as best as I possibly could.
Okay. How do you think the dressing room would have reacted?
I'm camera shy.
To be fair, Shaka, you're still doing that to this day.
Hold on. You just come back from 3.5 weeks holiday. You can't.
How long?
Too soon, Craig. Too soon.
I'm bringing my contract in, and you can have a look at the wording in it. It says lots of time off. I'm taking my time. I don't think I would have minded it, actually.
You don't?
Oh, I think we could, depending on which club you were at.
All right, which would be the best club that you were at to have done that on?
Well, Chelsea and Celtic at the time, two really good dressing rooms. Derby was a bit different. Scotland would have been a good one. But the two clubs, Derby was a bit different because it was a bun fight every week. It was a lot of young lads. I have to say, the Celtic one, the dressing room at Celtic in 97, 98 would have been... Because I know what went on behind the scenes would have been an absolute scream. And I think it'd have been okay. I'm not into this making documentaries on your own, like Neymar and Pogba and all that, but I don't think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have had a major problem with it, but I think it'd have been quite fun.
All right. For Craig, my wife rolls her eyes when I wear my Burley 8 Scotland shirt and tends to leave the room when you're on the telly. Any endearing and little-known tidbits about you I might pass on to bring her around?
Who leaves the room when I'm on the telly? The wife?
Resting Burley Faces wife.
My wife leaves the room when I'm on the telly. Well, she doesn't watch the TV, right? She doesn't watch it. But,
did you write this?
My hot wife rolls her eyes. That sounds like my wife rolls her eyes.
Do you wear your shirt at home a lot?
No, I don't have any.
He does.
What do you need to do to bring her around?
Well, he's a dog lover. He's a great owner of dogs. He's so good with his dogs. So I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help.
Yeah, I'll tell you what to do. Buy a dog, right? Big old fluffy thing. Get a replica number 8. Put it on the dog as well. And maybe, and so have the dog sitting at the TV. Woof, woof, woof. Imagine that's how the dog barks. And maybe that'll bring him out. And then as soon as I start talking, the dog goes like that. Not him again.
I'm just disturbed by the notion that Craig is helping somebody named Craig Burleyface, who is to substitute his wife, suggests having a dog dressed in a Craig Burley jersey. I just think this is all kinds of twists. I'm not judging. And well, I appreciate Craig is trying to help.
That's a documentary. Well, that's a documentary everybody wants.
If the wife wants a bit of realism as well, she wants a bit of realism. He sat there, the husband, obviously, with the Scotland top on. She should get I'm not advocating this, but get a big saucepan, hit him in the mouth, knock his teeth out, right? Knock all his teeth out, and then it'll be almost like realism while we're at it. I mean, I'm not advocating hitting your husband. I'm just saying, he's like...
All right, we'll quit.
Smack him, but not too hard. Just smack him enough for the teeth to go.
All right.
But no blood.
We're not going to get marriage advice, so actually, after Craig has decided.
Well, I'll think about that one.
Let's move on, shall we? Gab, who are your top four for Serie A this season? Don't give us a lecture.
Don't give us a lecture.
Don't give us a lecture. Just say them. Now, obviously, you did this in the show, but for those who weren't there, you can give us them much smaller, in a much shorter amount of time.
I will. I'm just glad we're moving out of that very dark place we were in, back into the light that is Serie A. My top four are Inter, Milan, Juve, and I'm really unsure between Roma and Napoli. But I've gone with Roma and Mourinho and the DAZ, the Daz front line, Dybala, Abraham, and Daniolo.
Nice. Just already given it a nice...
Well, talking about lectures, if... On the regular show, no matter where, I don't know which part of the world it went out, this US, but we had a similar discussion about La Liga title with Luis Garcia. And you want a lecture. I mean, all we wanted to know who his top four was, and he went into every team. We're all sat like that going, holy smokes.
I really enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it? Oh my God, no, he never got the memo.
What was the memo?
Just say the top four, shut up and get on with it.
So, you didn't...
What?
It's very nice. Craig.
He thought he was doing well. He wasn't. He was doing well.
It's good you've come back nice, rested and relaxed.
Been away, but he's in mid-season form.
He gave us... Now, Luis Garcia gave us the Mogadon La Liga top four. It was like, ah, after, and that was on... He was still on the top one. They had three more to go, and I was sat like that.
Can you remember who he picked?
Of course I can remember who he picked. Villarreal. Barcelona to win. Real Madrid in third.
All right.
Who Atletico was Madrid.
Yeah, there you go. So you listened.
What? There was this big thing called a graphic.
So you just looked at that instead. All right, Craig.
Good to be back, by the way.
I know, it's great to have you back. You made fun of Rangnick and said he was a farce. Now United has a real coach, yet there was no difference at all in the way United played their first game. Doesn't this prove Rangnick was never the problem and he was right when he said we need 11 new players?
Where the hell do we find these people? Where's our vetting department? The vetting department on our social media vetting department needs to be fired on the spot. This is the typical. He's had one. This can't be serious. The guy's had one game. Okay, it's a big project. Honestly, I think we should bend extra time from now on. Just shouldn't we?
So you.
What?
So he's not a farce.
He's not what?
He's not a farce after one game.
Farce? Oh, this wasn't very good, but.
All right, Gab.
Neither was Ralph Ranić, by the way. Everything's betting, Jim. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
All right.
Don't get me started.
There's no more Barcelona questions either, so don't worry. We don't have to get you started on any of that tonight. Gab, who would you like to have on the Gab and Jules podcast if Jules is not there? Name one footballer, one manager slash coach, and one executive slash commentator.
Ooh. Okay, well, the ex-footballer would obviously be Craig Burley.
What's an executive commentator, by the way?
I think it's that you can have an executive or a commentator.
Okay, well, you wouldn't have a commentator on. They're the most boring people on the planet.
Don't you commentate sometimes?
No, I'm talking about commentators. I'm a co-commentator. I'm not talking about commentators. Champion, Drury, Ray.
What about your mate Ian Dark?
Dark. Darky is slightly different. He only spots a couple of trains a day. The rest of them, they're down there for the whole day. Mapping it down, Intercity, 125, look at that train, that's busy. So don't have a commentator on, don't have a commentator.
All right, so Gab, that's narrowed it down to an executive for you.
Well, I'd want to have, he's not an executive, but I think it was also given the option of a manager. I would definitely want to have Jose Mourinho on because he's box office and he's worked on enough leagues that I think he could bring a ton of insight to almost as much as Jules, in fact. Although I think Jules probably dresses a little bit better than Jose does. And in terms of executive comment stroke commentator, if we can put it out to agents, I'd want to inject him with a truth serum first, but might be fun to have another Portuguese, Jorge Mendes, on, who could maybe can answer some real questions about some of the people he looks after.
Do you know what? Been good. You know what would have been a good one? He's not there anymore, but it'd been good to get Ed Woodward on, wouldn't it? And say, and just because it, I don't know if you remember this, but our colleague Mark Ogden was either interviewing him. I don't think it was an exclusive. I think there was a group of journalists, and they asked Ed Woodward if he thought he'd. They did a good job with the signings and had made mistakes, and he didn't think he'd made many, if any, mistakes. So he'd been a good one to get on to say, how can you have overseen this and got it so spectacularly wrong all this time? Wouldn't it? Because he's definitely fudged the blame to everybody. But it's, you know, it's, I think he'd have been a good one. I'd love to sit him in this table and talk and get him to talk through all the people that he helped sign and all the people that he renewed. And we were all sitting there going, what? Like Solskjaer getting the new contract, like when he still had, I don't know, 2 years to go, and it was crystal clear, it was heading south, like the Titanic. And they gave him a new one. And he wasn't the only one. And then they wonder about Man United now.
I'm sensing a Gab and Craig podcast coming.
I don't do podcasts.
Well, no,
it's
could
not
be,
in my contract.
But you could be one of the interviewers, like Stuart Robson.
Let me tell you, I have a job. This is my job.
But they have it's a TV Stable show here. As well. You can watch
it. It's a TV show,
I have a job. This is my job. Right? I don't go out there looking for extra stuff to do. I leave that not to Gab, but he does the podcast. He doesn't do this job full time. I'm here. I'm never off the set. Workaholic. You know that.
But you went on Football America.
What?
You went on Football America willingly.
Yes.
My boss twisted. No. My boss twisted my arm, and I was gullible. and I did it, and it won't happen again. I don't get paid to do podcasts, so I'm not doing a podcast.
Stuart Robson proved himself to be a great interviewer over the summer.
He never let Thomas Muller talk.
I think if you had someone like Edward Wood there...
Hey, Thomas, where do you think your best position is? Well, I think it's right wing, centre forward. Hey, Thomas. He did a good job, Robert.
So no Gab and Craig podcast.
I'm too busy. Listen.
Sorry, Gab.
Listen, I would have to check with my secretary because my schedule is extremely busy.
All right. And now on top of that, you've got to start making people's wives like you more so that they don't leave when you're... so that they don't leave when you're on the TV.
Trust me, I've got enough problems. I don't need...
All right, last one.
It is a little worrying if somebody...
You know what it is, Kay? It's the fact that... So Jules is obviously as a sideline in modeling classic football shirts, right? And he did Ian Rush, Wales Away, I think 1993, very good, a couple shows ago. He hasn't done a Craig Burley shirt yet. Yeah, I think when he does that, that's going to be the icebreaker that gets him on the show. That, and then we'll also have the dog there dressed in the Craig Burley shirt. And between that, we'll have three different variations of Craig Burley. So he can't say no.
Well, and if that wife that keeps rolling her eyes, if she turns up as well, that
she
could
come on the
deal. Why did she roll her eyes? I mean, come on.
She rolls the eyes when he wears his Burley 8 Scotland shirt.
Oh, right.
And tends to leave the room when you're on the telly. Tends.
Well, that's a normality, is it not?
last question, Shaka, and you'll be involved here, even though the question's for Craig. Would Craig have known to catch the ball if Dan had thrown it at him instead of Shaka? Now, hopefully you all saw that yesterday, Shaka. The unveiling of La Liga's new ball. It was thrown to Shaka and he didn't catch it. This is it.
The lights were in my eyes, Kate. It's the studio lights.
It took them all day to come up with that.
Studio lights were right in my eyes.
I reckon it took them about a week to come up with that stunt. And then the look in the face, look. Shaq's going, there's a ball. You know, talking about interviews, Robbo interviewing Thomas Muller. I once saw an interview recently where there was two goalies involved.
Was it Oliver Kahn and Casey Keller?
It was Oliver Kahn. It was Casey. I'm thinking it was Shaka. If there'd been three of them, that'd have been worse. Shaka sat doing the sound and working the camera. Casey doing the making the interviewing, and Oliver Kahn. There's three goalkeepers there, and. How many brain cells were actually in that room, do you reckon, between the goalkeepers?
Oh, I interviewed Van der Sar back in 2019. Highly awarded interview was. It won. Won many an award.
I tell you what, I bet that video's not been sent around the schools for grammar purposes. We used two goalies involved.
Oh, wow. So, anyway...
Who would send a goalie to interview a goalie?
Why not?
Stupid.
Shaka.
Let me interview a goalie. Yeah, but we can do goalie speak. Yeah, I know, but...
What's goalie speak?
Freaking brain dead.
Listen, Shaka, Craig saw that video and straight away said, was that a setup? Questioning your acting skills.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Steven Spielberg was on the phone this morning, wanted to know when I was available.
Hey, Shaq, is there any chance your missus can throw them lamps behind you and you can break them? driving me crazy.
Oh dear. The good news is Craig Burley's back tomorrow, so we got him started.
Run for 2 days.
He'll be continuing the ranting tomorrow.
Send him another
3.5 weeks
holiday. Okay.
What?
You can have my 3.5 weeks, Jack, Craig. Go ahead. Take it.
Jack, it was 2 weeks holiday, max. Not 3.5 weeks.
Okay.
Right? And I'm due another 5. Got that worked out.
You have got that.
You can have a couple of mine tomorrow.
You've got none left. Anyway, that's all we've got time for in the latest edition of Extra Time. Thanks to Shaka. Gab, we'll let him get back to his vacation. Another one of those. We are available 7 days a week. And yes, Craig Burley will be back tomorrow.